All right, let's get into the Word tonight. We're just going to jump right in and spend a little bit of time in the Word together. So take your Bibles, turn with me. In fact, if you want to, you can just turn to John chapter number 4. We'll be coming back there, but I'm just going to read the one verse out of Matthew. But you can just go on to John chapter 4 and be ready. We're going to be right around verse number 21 of John chapter 4. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6, this is where we have been focusing. It's been a little bit of a peculiar series this time around because we've had several interruptions to the series. And so we'll hit a week or two and then we've missed and then we'll hit and miss. And so we're winding our way through this as we are talking about the sacred. And we're still on this series. We have been looking at this now. This will be the fourth week that we have been talking about things that are sacred, why that's important, what that means. The first week, that's what we really covered, the why of the sacred. We talked about the sacred versus the sentimental and the importance of that. Then we jumped into the first thing we talked about being sacred, if you'll remember, was our witness is sacred. And we talked about the fact that we need to guard and we need to protect our testimony, our witness. What people see in us, they see the Christ that is in us. And so we need to represent well. And we talked about that. And then last time we gathered together, we talked about the fact that the Word is sacred. That not only is our witness sacred, but the Word is sacred. And we talked about the fact that we need to be in the Word, because in the Word we find the revelation of Christ, we find the plan of the Father, and we see the truth of the Holy Spirit's miracle power. We find those things within the Word, and then we also find the hope of eternity. And so we need to understand that the Word is sacred. What we are trying to do in this series is we are trying to just hit some topics. It's not exhaustive by any means. But we're trying to just hit some topics and remind ourselves that there are things in our walk with the Lord that should be held sacred. They should be of utmost importance. They are pivotal to our lives as a believer. And so we're focusing on these things, and hopefully you're pulling something out of that. Some of these are issues that it seems like in our world today that are not being emphasized within the circles of Christianity. Things that are being minimized and left out. And so we want to reclaim those. We want to recapture those. We talked about last week, if we take the themes out of the Word that make it sacred, if we discount those, then the Word ceases to be sacred. Really, it's with anything that is sacred. When we quit paying attention to it, it loses its importance. I mean, no, that's anything that's important. Relationships, families, marriages, relationships with your kids, relationships with your church, relationships with the Lord, the Word that you read, the time you spend in prayer, anything that you quit paying attention to then loses its importance in your life. And so it's important that we don't discount those things, because then they will cease to be sacred. So tonight, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6, this is kind of the theme of our study, says, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine." Do not give what is sacred. That's what some translations would say. New King James, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and then turn and tear you in pieces." And so we've taken that thought, and out of that thought, and we're not going to revisit all of that. If you need to revisit that, you can go catch up on that first one, and I'll hit that a little bit more in that first teaching. That you can find the audios there. You can find them on riverlifechurch.com on the media page under my blog. But do not give what is sacred to the dogs. And out of that, the Lord began to speak to me that this is what happens. We are taking what should be sacred in our life, and we are just discounting it. We are leaving it for just whatever comes along. We are not protecting those things that matter the most. We are casting our pearls before the swine. We're just disregarding the things that God has purchased for us. And so we are in the process of talking about reclaiming and refocusing on those things that are sacred. So let's jump over to John chapter 4, verse number 21. Tonight what we're going to talk about, and you probably recognize John chapter 4, very familiar passage, very familiar setting with the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well that Jesus is going to come to, and he's going to talk to her about living water. He's going to ask her for water. She's going to say, "What? Why are you talking to me?" We kind of know that story, and maybe we'll cover a little bit that tonight. But what I want to focus on is this concept, and what I want to talk about for a few minutes with you tonight is this concept, and that is worship is sacred. Our witness is sacred, the word is sacred, and worship is sacred. John chapter 4, verse 21. Let's look at this. Jesus said to this woman, he's met her there at the well, they're in a conversation now. Verse 21, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me." Let me back up just a moment. He's already told her, "Go and get your husband." And she said, "I have no husband." And he said, "You've spoken well, because you've had five. The guy you're with now is not your husband." And she said, "I think you're a prophet." Okay, a pretty significant moment in her life. And so then she begins to ask him a theological question. So she says, I perceive that you're a prophet. And so then she begins to ask him. Let's start at verse 20. "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain," she said to Jesus, the Samaritans, their fathers, "and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. But Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know.'" The Samaritans, you're worshiping what you don't fully understand or know. "We Jews know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." He's not diminishing the Gentiles in this point. He's just simply saying, you're worshiping. The Samaritans were a mixed group of people of Jew and Gentile. They were disparaged. They were disliked. The Jews had nothing to do with them. And Jesus is saying, you don't fully understand. The Jews, it's from the Jews come salvation. He was talking to her about himself. He's going to say that here in just a little bit. But he's laying this foundation for her, okay? For salvation is of the Jews. Verse 23, "But the hour is coming," he said, "and now is, when the true worshipers," okay, true worshipers, he has just distinguished, he's just made a difference between the sacred and the sentimental. Okay? He's just kind of kicked over some sentimental thoughts. He's just kind of kicked that. She said, "Well, now, our fathers say to worship on this mountain. Yours say to worship in Jerusalem." And Jesus is saying to her, the hour now is coming, and now is, that you're not going to worship on this mountain or here in Jerusalem, but when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." There are some scriptures in the Bible that people just overlook. You've got big debates going on today. Theologians that want to say, well, Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah. Only those that followed him did. There's big debates about that. There are theological debates. People that study the Bible for their whole life that will make that foolish statement. He never claimed that of himself, only his followers. The way they get around this verse is they say, well, John wrote that. Okay, These are letters in red. This is Jesus' conversation that he is placing down. There are other scriptures besides this one, but you don't get any more plain to that. She said than that. She said, Messiah is coming. And Jesus said, woman, let me tell you something. I'm he. I who speak to you am the Messiah. I've just told you all things. Okay, now let's focus on what he said to her. He said, worship is to be in spirit and in truth. Now, in this concept of the sacred, we need to differentiate again, because Jesus did, the difference between the sentimental and the sacred. If worship is just a religious activity, it is not in spirit and in truth, and it is not sacred. It's just activity. It's just something you do. It's just something that's been passed down to you and you do. There are a lot of people that they call that worship, but that is not the type of worship that Jesus is talking about. So we're going to talk about the type of worship that is sacred. And that's not going to include our traditions. That's not going to include our religious activity. It's going to include the understanding that that type of worship only happens in spirit and in truth. Okay? So that's what we're going to look at and we're going to talk about for just a few minutes tonight. Let's get into this. What is worship? Let me give you a few stories as we jump into this. I'm not going to give you tons of scripture tonight. We may come back and revisit this next time. But I just want to give you the capsule of this a little bit tonight. Let me give you a couple stories. You can write these down if you want to go read about them. Genesis chapter 22, verses 3 through 19. It's the story of Abraham. Isaac is born, the child of promise. Genesis 22, Abraham is asked as a test of faith to offer his son to God. So Abraham gathers up Isaac, gathers up the utensils needed for the sacrifice, gathers up the wood, gathers up everything that is needed, and they head off. He's got servants going with him. They get to a certain place, and he says to them, now you wait here. The boy and I, Isaac and I, are going to go to the mountain and worship, and we will return to you. Now God had asked him to sacrifice his son. That was the test. He was never going to have to sacrifice his son. It was a picture of what God has done for us. Because what Abraham couldn't do, what man couldn't do, God did. Oh, come on now. I could preach that right there. Because God loved the world so much, he gave his only son. Abraham, it was just a test, because Abraham's the man of faith. Abraham's the father of faith. And faith means, will you trust God with everything? Okay? And so Abraham says, we're going to go to the mountain. And that's a faith statement. We're going up there and then we're going to return to you. Now, I don't know what he meant by that. I don't know all the details of that. But all I know is that's a statement of faith that he said. But what he said is what I want to focus on tonight. And that is, we're going to go worship. And Isaac looks at him, and there's debate how old Isaac was, whether he was a little boy or whether he was a little bit older and old enough to carry the stuff and all of that. Obviously, he was old enough to do that. But later on the journey there, Isaac looks at Abraham and he says to his father, Dad, we've got the wood, we've got the fire, we've got the knife, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says, the Lord will provide. Amen. The Lord will provide. And so here is what we need to talk about. Worship to Abraham was sacred. It wasn't sentimental. It wasn't just religious activity. This is sacred now, because this just got real. Come on now. Until your worship gets real, and that means when you can worship in the midst of the darkest hour. How many know that's when it gets real? And Abraham said, that worship is sacred. We're going up there. He didn't say, I'm going up there to sacrifice. I'm going up there to give everything. I'm going up there to prove myself before God. He said, we're going to worship. Because this is sacred. This is a moment that God has called us to. Another story is in 2 Samuel chapter 6. You can write this down as well. It's verses 14 through 16 are the main verses that you can focus on. But it's the story of the Ark of the Covenant coming back into God's people's hands. It's been in Philistine ownership, and then it was brought back and placed in a house of God's people, but now they're bringing it back. David made one failed attempt where they tried to do it their way rather than God's way, and now they went and they did it God's way, and they're coming back, and the Bible says that they would take six steps and then they would offer praise and worship, and David would dance before the Lord with all of his might. His wife, Michal, Saul's daughter, would look out of her window and she would despise him for his actions, and she would rail on him later and say to him, "Boy, you made yourself just a common person today." And David would say to her, "You think that was bad? You just wait and see what I do next time." Okay? Why? Because worship was sacred to him. God's presence was with him. It wasn't about tradition now. It wasn't about some sentimental thing. It was the fact that God's presence was now physically, tangibly back with them. And so he could worship in that moment in spite of what anybody else thought. One more story. Acts 16. Just read it. Paul and Silas in a Philippian jail, put there for preaching the gospel. In chains, stocks, they've been beaten, they've been charged, didn't know what was going to happen to them, and at about midnight, in a dark, how many believe prison in those days was probably, they didn't have sanitary laws, okay? They didn't have none of this stuff. They didn't have, you just were thrown in there, locked in there. It was dark. It was dirty. It was nasty. They were hurting. They didn't know what was going to happen. They weren't treated well. They had no advocate to turn to if they were treated wrong. They just had to suffer. And at about midnight, the Bible said that they began to sing praises unto God. Now, there's an earthquake happens, great things happen, but let's focus on the fact that at about midnight, they began to worship God. Why? Because worship was sacred to them. It was something that could not be taken away from them. So what is this kind of sacred worship that we are talking about? Well, understand this. Worship is not about a style. Worship is an investment. I'm just going to give you a couple things tonight, and then we're going to close for tonight, and then we will pick back up on this. But worship is not a style. Get that out of your mind. If worship is a style to you, it's not sacred. It might be sacred to you, but it's not the sacred style, sacred type of worship that God demands in spirit and in truth. It might be sentimental to you. Worship is not a style. Worship is an investment. That's why you and I can worship in any situation. It doesn't have to be just the right situation. If it only could be under one certain style, surely Paul and Silas could not worship. David could have, the ark was with them, but Abraham couldn't have. That tells me worship is not about style, it's about investment. How many know you receive out of worship what you put into worship? Come on now, are y'all with me? You receive what you put into worship. That's why I have decided it doesn't matter where I'm at, what's going on, if it's my favorite type or whatever's happening, whatever's going on, I can worship God because it's my investment. I'm putting in. It doesn't matter what else is happening. It is an investment. You need to understand, worship will be sacred to you when you understand it is your investment in the kingdom. Prayer is an investment in the kingdom. Worship is an giving, is an act of worship. You're investing in the kingdom. People say, "Well, I don't want to give. I don't like what they're doing." No, your giving is an investment in the kingdom, not to men. Amen. It's an act of worship. See, when worship is sacred, it is an investment. That means you're putting something into it. It's costing something. It's an investment in the kingdom. It's an investment in God's plan. When you worship and it's an investment for you, you're investing in God's plan. You're saying, "God, I'm worshiping you, not because of what's going on, but because you've got a plan." Amen. How many know you can worship God for his plan from any situation. Because in any situation, God's got a plan for you. Amen. It's an investment. You're choosing to be a part, and you're worshiping. It's an investment in his plan, and it's an investment in what is permanent, not what is temporary. Some people only worship when the temporary is all good. True worship, sacred worship, is an investment in the permanent. Amen. From bondage, the Jews could still worship. They could still turn towards Jerusalem and worship, because they're not worshiping their certain situation. They're worshiping a permanent God. Come on now. How many know our situations are temporary? Some of you might say it doesn't feel very temporary. It is temporary. It may last a while on this earth, but it's still temporary. Amen? It might last 40 years. Amen? Israel wandered in the wilderness 40 years. You say, oh, dear Lord, I hope not. I hope not either. But it's still temporary. But we can worship no matter what. Not because of the temporary, but we worship the permanent. God is a permanent. We worship God for the permanent. Amen. See, worship is an investment. You're investing in what is permanent. You're investing in God's plan. You're investing in God's kingdom. Worship is not a style. It is an investment. Worship is not a moment, but a lifestyle. Worship is not a moment, it is a lifestyle. Worship, a lifestyle of worship, is a lifestyle of faith, a lifestyle of joy. How many know there's a difference in joy and happiness? Amen. You can do things and make me happy, but things can happen to me that I'm not happy about, and I can still keep my joy. Amen. See, it's a lifestyle of joy. If I'm a worshiper, if worship is sacred to me, I have a lifestyle of joy no matter what my circumstances are. No matter whether we're happy in the moment or not, it's a lifestyle of faith, a lifestyle of joy, and worship is a lifestyle of the miraculous. You know what is a common thread for worshipers that worship is sacred to? The miraculous happens. That's a commonality. When people worship God and worship is sacred and they worship in spirit and in truth, and it's their lifestyle and not a moment, and it's their investment, it's not a style, it's an investment, it's not a moment, it's a lifestyle, for them miracles seem to occur. You ever notice how people that learn to worship God, good things just seem to come through for them? Amen. They're the people that people will say, I just don't understand. Everything seems to turn out for their good. That's right, because they're a worshiper. Amen. You drop them on their head, they turn over on their feet. Because it's a lifestyle. We'll bounce back. It's a lifestyle of the miraculous. When everybody says you can't, God said, I can. Worship him for the permanence. Come on, somebody. And the third thing, worship is not an act. This is important. Worship is not an act of the flesh. It is a response of the Spirit. Worship is not an act of the flesh. It is a response of the Spirit. If you can get these things in you, your worship will change. And we're going to go more in depth in this next time. But worship is not a style, it's an investment. Worship is not a moment, but a lifestyle. Worship is not an act of the flesh, but a response of the Spirit. Amen. The Spirit of God has a purpose. John 16 talks to us about the purpose of the Spirit. And in John 16, verses 12 through 15, he begins to tell us that the Spirit of God will respond to what he has heard. He'll speak to us of what he has heard. He speaks of what was, he speaks of what is spiritually now, and he speaks of what is pointed to in the promised future. That's what the Spirit of God does. Here, let me talk to you now. Your worship, if it comes from your spirit, led by the Spirit, will do the same thing. The Spirit of God in you, in your spirit will quicken your spirit, your inner man, and you will he will tell you what Christ has said, and you will respond in worship. He will reveal to you what Christ is doing, and you will respond spiritually in worship. And He will remind you of what is promised ahead of you, and you will respond in worship. Amen. So you got to understand these things. Worship, it's not an act of the flesh. You can mimic worship in the flesh. I mean, you can clap and you can sing, and in your heart you're not worshiping God. You can go to any concert out here and find that. Amen. You can go anywhere and find that. People sell that's that may be some celebrating, but it's not worship. Amen. Worship is not an act of the flesh. It's a spiritual response. It's when the Spirit quickens our spirit and we respond spiritually. Amen. And we invest. And the style no longer matters. And we live a lifestyle and not just for a moment. That's worship. That's what Abraham did. That's what David was doing. That's what Paul and Silas were doing. That was sacred worship. Come on. Now we're going to get into John 4. We'll do that next time. Because there's some things in there. I got it. But I want you to see this first. I wanted to give this caps to you first. Because if you can just catch those three things, your worship can just explode. If you can grab hold of that and not let go of that. My worship is not a style. It's my investment. Investing. Every time you worship God, you're investing in the kingdom. You're investing in God's plan. You're investing in what is permanent. And if you can understand, it's not a moment, it's a lifestyle. I don't worship God at church. I worship God because I am the church. Amen. That means everywhere we go, we are the church. We should be in a perpetual place of worship. That's why 1 Thessalonians says, rejoice always. Yeah, that's what the psalmist would say. And again, I say, rejoice. Come on now. It's not a flesh act. It's not a moment of lifestyle. It's not an act of the flesh. It's an act, a response of your spirit. Catch that. I want you to just simmer in that a little bit over the next little while. I want you to ask yourself, is worship sacred to me? Sacred to me. When we gather here, or you're in your car, or you're at home, you're in prayer closet, or whatever, is it sacred to you? Is it a style? Is worship just when everything's like you like, or is it your investment? Is it a moment, or is it your lifestyle? Is it just a flesh act? Or is it a response of your spirit who has been quickened to life by the Lord? Worship. Worship is a honoring, adoring, exalting, adulation of God. Okay? Absolutely. Praise is an aspect of worship. Giving is an aspect of worship. Service is an aspect of worship. Being in the Word is an aspect of worship. Keeping your witness sacred, living the Word, letting Christ live in you is an aspect of worship. Gathering, encouraging one another these are all aspects of worship. When worship is sacred to us, we begin to understand that. Does it happen when music? Sure, that's worship. We have worship services. We feel the presence of God. Here's the thing. God's always with us. And when we understand that and we apply that, our worship opens up. A worship is acknowledging God at all times. Yes, He did. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Sure. Absolutely. Because you're honoring. That's an act of faith. That's you're reaching out. You're worshiping Him. You're putting Him first. You're marching with Him. You're trusting in Him. He's fighting the battle. You're acknowledging what He's accomplished. And then victory comes. Absolutely. That's what this is about. Our worship is more than just something that's sentimental to us. We have people that want to argue about style. We got some churches, they don't like music in their worship. You got other churches that like this certain style. Others that like that style. Others that just, you know, it's chants. And others that it's homilies. And others that it's the high church. And others are just wildfire. And it just all this kind of stuff. But all that is styles. It's great. Sentimental, it's preferences, it's wonderful, thank God for it. I love certain styles. I love spiritual worship. I love Pentecostal worship. I love the gifts in operation. But you know what? I can even worship when all that's not going on. First, yes, he danced before. He learned to worship before he became king. He danced when the ark was coming home with him. He worshiped at the end. He worshiped at the beginning. He played. He drove away the spirits because of the gift that he had of worship. Yes. And ran off the spirit, the evil spirits. Absolutely. That's right. Gave that up. That's right. That's worship is sacrifice. It's lowering self, putting God first. Come on. Can y'all hear that? See, if you can catch that, that's what's sacred about worship. Everything else will come secondary. But that's what's sacred. Not a style, but an investment. Not a moment, but a lifestyle. Not an act of the flesh, but a response of the Spirit. Stand to your feet with me tonight.